You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7 at the homies in the building, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing very well, you know.
That's
just
it?
Out here living, you know.
Okay.
Got a little money this weekend, you know.
Oh.
You know, five gigs in 2 days, you know, it was kind of exhausting, yeah. But, you know.
You be getting to that paper, though. I do
the best I can.
Yeah, you get to that paper. I respect that. My man Longevity is in the building. How are you, sir?
I am doing all right.
I am.
Thank you for asking.
Did I miss the memo today? Got the crispy white hoodies. I guess me and Jay Moore missed that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wearing something else, but then it was cold, and so I put a hoodie on.
A Nike hoodie's crispy, though. My man, DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Everything good your way?
Yep. Copacetic, man.
Copacetic,
It's getting cold again.
They say that Hawk's supposed to be in town tonight.
Yeah. I don't know how cold the wind going to blow, but it's definitely going to snow.
That's what my mama said. So.
Bars.
That is a bar, ain't it, low key? Real quick, though, I want to give out some real quick flowers. Before we jump into our normal routine, because normally he doesn't like to stunt, so I have no problem doing the stunting. Make sure I say it right in case my mama see this, but I got to give my man Lone his props. 50,000 subs on Bringing Down the Band and 15 million views. That is a big milestone, and I know what you put into it. Terry as well was there from the beginning. We know a lot of people that helped out. Mike Spitz, David Peck. The homie Tubbs. So
yeah,
just give me your flowers, man, because I know what it was when you started and what it's become, because I know you guys used to do all the music reviews and, you know, you were more heavy into it back then. But to consistently grow for this amount of time is dope. So we got to give you your flowers, man, because people are front on you like you not like that, but you definitely like that. So salute to you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it.
That post got me hype when I saw it. I ain't gonna lie.
You know, I realized that I never really talk about Bringing Down the Band.
Yep. That's why I'm talking about it.
And I also realized that, because I try to, I don't want to say like separate myself from it a little bit.
Right.
Just because I'm not trying to be all up in the videos and stuff like
dancing.
That.
Dancing.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
But also because like, you know, we do the podcast and then I do music and I do this other stuff. So it just kind of gets put to the side. And after we stopped blogging, like, I don't know, when we stopped blogging, Terry, like 2016? Been a minute.
When did we stop?
Yeah, it's been like.
Because you started in 2009, right?
17.
It was right when the podcast started, really.
Because it established in 2009, if I read it correctly.
2009, and then we stopped blogging in like, I think 2016 or so, right when the podcast started, because blogging was dying. And so that's when I kind of launched the YouTube channel. And I don't know. I mean,
well, you've been doing something right, man, because the numbers have grown, and the content that's on Bringing Down the Band is not. I'm trying to figure out the best way to
salacious.
Say it. There we go. Thank you. It's none of that. It's good content. What I would consider good in my personal opinion.
I mean, realistically, all I do there is I was sharing music on there for a long time, but I stopped doing that just because too many artists kind of got weird about it. So, it was just hip-hop news and new old heads clips. And there's a lot of playlisting that I just kind of do randomly. And then I turned to sharing a lot of shorts this year, and that stuff is taking off crazy. So I'm still trying to figure out the mold of like a series or something to do. Cause I don't, you know, that's the hard part is like, what do people want? And I don't want to just share, like you said, like the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to like share a video every time somebody dies or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I think one of the things that's impressive to me, one being around enough to remember when it started all the way up until now, even though I was in other cities or whatever, I still, you know, it's always the home team. The fact that you have 50,000 subscribers and 15 million views through the evolution of how media is consumed, it's changed so much from 2009 to now. So the fact that you've consistently grown with all of the changes. Hell, it might change next year. You know what I'm saying? That's how fast it might change tomorrow. Yeah, that's how fast everything happens.
This is just like 50,000 since we stopped blogging. This isn't like from the beginning.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's like that's big though.
Just bro.
That stuff. Yeah. I mean, if things continue, I mean, we're on pace to like 100,000 this year. So that'd be kind of cool because you get a plaque. I want a YouTube plaque.
Yo, if we get 100,000, well, I'm saying we, but you know what I mean? Bringing Down the Band gets 100,000 subscribers. I will do an episode without my hat on.
That a prize?
I'm just throwing some. That's a goal. I played it like that was a goal, like, friend.
That's
it's
a goal. It's like,
yeah, I don't. I mean, that's cool.
I'll do the first show I've ever done without a hat on. So.
Yeah, I want to figure out how to do some kind of cool content on it. And I mean, New Old Heads is essentially a part of bringing down the band,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the live media portion of it. I mean, it's its own, but it's its own thing. We kind of do our own thing here, so it's affiliated,
kind of,
but
separate entities, but still kind of under the same umbrella.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. It is under the same umbrella. So it's one of those things where, like, I saw some people like, yeah, you guys have been doing the show for a while. I'm like, you guys don't even know what I'm talking
you
about.
You have right. no idea.
I'm just like, yeah,
it's deeper.
Different.
Than
it's yeah, a lot it's deeper, deeper, you know, yeah. I mean,
but those that have paid attention and those that have, you know, consistently rocked, because we all know who those people are, said people are. Like, we really appreciate it. Just speaking from a New Old Head standpoint and bringing down the band, the day oneers, because they are out there. They do exist.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to show them
and,
love.
And don't get twisted. Like, bringing down the band is not what it is today because of just me. Like,
right.
Literally, Terry. It's literally, I mean, Terry was a major part of it for
yes.
a very long time.
Yes.
We did a lot of events. We've done a lot of stuff in the city, a lot of supportive stuff that a lot of people don't even know about.
Yep.
You know, and it's sharing stuff. And then, of course, it turned into the New Old Heads, and it turned into, you know, yeah, you know, we're lots of people have written, you know, lots of people have, like, contributed with the events, and lots of people have, you know, like, just on the side. I mean, even Metronome has been a part of, not even a part of us, but we've done so much stuff together.
Shout out to DJ Metronome,
you know, like,
man.
We have this stage at Treese for the last since inception, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember coming home.
We did Writer's Block for 2 years, you know what I mean?
I remember coming home and visiting, and every place we went out to, there was a bringing down the band banner or a table or sponsored by or promoted by. Like, y'all were everywhere. I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, yep. So, I mean, I appreciate that, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It is a lot of work, but it's...
blood, sweat, tears, and years.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the craziest thing about it all is just thinking back that we had 12,000 blog posts.
Mm.
12,000.
That's incredible. I had a couple of blogs that, you know, I was into, and then all of a sudden, like, responsibility of real life come along, and I just don't have time to do it.
It always does.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, to continually, even if you have a certain focus, to continually, okay, have something to write about, have content that you want to share, have things that you think are worthy of sharing.
Yeah.
You know, because you could get on here and just be like, look, for lack of a better term, I just feel like there's a lot of people in the content game who are, for lack of a better term, shaking ass.
Yeah.
And
no, you're right.
You know, and
shaking that ass.
If that's how you want to get it, then that's fine. I think one of the things that makes, you know, the Bring Down the Band special and really what we do here as a podcast, because we don't shake ass here.
We don't.
After 300 and almost 25, 23? Yeah, 323.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have our funny moments, the things that we say that we, you know, our observations, but we don't come in here and, first of all, we didn't, when all of a sudden relationships became the thing to talk about, like,
right.
We're like, you know what, there are enough people
and rumors
who
just
are,
like,
just working off of rumors and the conflicts between men and women. It was like, no, we're gonna stick with
I assure you
do.
There are thousands of pages on YouTube where you can find information about all the rumors and the relationships.
Everybody's trying to be the latest Kevin Samuels now too, so.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they just take, you know, he's dead, so they just take all his stuff and
rewrite with that too.
Now you got women who were critical of him when he was alive who are doing his content.
Believe it or not, there are people that are,
because they looked at the numbers and they were like, oh, maybe we should do this exact same thing that we were against.
Yeah.
Academics has thousands of sons on YouTube
that have taken
what he did.
But that is the model.
That's the model. Yeah.
It's find what works and then try to emulate it. Like,
I think some people emulate, but I think sometimes people emulate and then put their own spin
to the
emulation.
One of the main reasons, like, I haven't done a lot of YouTube stuff is I can't think of something that is genuinely unique enough that somebody else isn't already doing to death that I want to contribute to. Like, if somebody else is already doing something that's, like, really good,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather just, like, amplify them than, like, try to, like, dip into their sauce. You know what I mean? It's like,
and it's a lot of,
I just haven't come up with the idea yet.
That's why we got a polo and a U.S. polo. because they trying to dip into that, that Ralph Lauren sauce.
Yeah. And it actually kind of worked.
Yeah, because there are people who don't know that USA Polo Association is not Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
Like, they wear it to the club with all the pride. Like, we know you got those.
Hey, don't be bashing people that's wearing
it. I'm just saying. Man, but
it ain't Ralph, though.
It's not. And you in here doing a lot in
standing
this
standing in front of the DJ booth.
U.S. straight. Yeah. I mean, look, that's what I would expect you to wear if that's your behavior.
Straight up.
I like that.
You know, and
that behavior goes with a lot of this stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like
it go hand in hand.
You want to emulate and be this. I mean, you can parade around and put on your outfit and look the part, but you're not it at the end of the day. So, yeah, I feel you on that.
I will say one quick thing about this since you brought this up. Anyways, I mean, I made a social post on it a while ago to just people that I was connected with, but like, Bringing Down the Band is like open. If there's any content creators out there that want to utilize the platform, that can make something kind of cool, and you can put it together, I'm definitely down to revenue split with you, and you can have a majority of it. So,
But
if you know how to find me, you know how to find me.
Keyword is revenue. Just so y'all know, have some paper involved. Let's talk about Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def, one of my favorite artists. Shout out to Black Star.
Still haven't heard the second Black Star album of yours.
I won't hear it until somebody presents it to me.
Okay.
But I say that I say I don't try to diss him, but he says he's actually about to retire from hip hop, and he's one of the people that I believe. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, I'm done. Hov did it. Oh, this is my last album. We shoot the video for it, and he drops five more albums. Even West Side Gunn has retired and dropped three or four more projects. Recently said he's going to retire. But with Mos Def or Yasiin Bey, I actually believe that he's going to retire. Like I said, one of my favorite artists of all time. What do you guys think his legacy will be if he's truly done with music? Because I think he is a guy that sometimes gets his flowers, but sometimes deserves more just from a creative standpoint, because he's really been dope for a long time. Anybody can jump in.
Jay, he's not really a mainstream. He's from the backpack era, essentially. He's one of the best from the backpack era.
I would agree.
And like we just said, Black Star has two albums, one that just came out a year ago.
Right.
Mos Def's solo career is really good,
mm-hmm.
But it's still not, he doesn't have not one mainstream song, really. It's more for the heads, you feel me? And then he got into acting a little bit. He's more like, so I kind of consider him a renaissance man,
okay,
in a sense of an Andre 3000 that's not quite Andre 3000.
I like that one. They cut from a similar cloth.
Yeah.
I mean, Mos Def, when he was Mos Def, he was my favorite rapper when he was putting material out. But then he just kind of stopped making music for really a long time. And
which makes this more believable to me because he's done it before. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, my real answer is I don't. It's not that I don't care. It's just that, like, yeah, I mean, I just don't care.
You gonna hit it?
No, I'm not gonna hit it. But I mean, it's like, I'm a fan of him. I always feel it's weird as an artist to say that you're gonna retire, because I don't feel like you ever really truly retire from doing stuff like that. Like, if he randomly gets the bug to randomly work on music and put something out, then wouldn't he? Like, do we ever really retire as like musicians? I don't know. I guess the answer is no. That's what comes to my thought. You know,
so the only person I know who said he's retired from music, and I truly believe him, is Joe Budden.
Yeah, I know,
because I see like he is completely transitioned into something else. And
that's a good example.
But
I could still see Joe Budden popping back for a random verse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I could still see that
because if you think about it, they were having talks until they start arguing with Slaughterhouse. He was like, if the bag was going to be right and they were ready to go.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
This is true. But
I still like that example. That's a good example.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're going to retire from music, don't tell us. Just go and retire.
Or just stop making music.
If somebody asks you, why haven't you made an album in 15 years? I'm retired.
Is that kind of what this was? Or was this more so like he announced it?
From what I see here,
from an interview
that was with
Billboard. Asked about it. I don't know.
But even with like you said, even with that, it's as from a creative standpoint, do I think he's not going to record joints? No, I don't believe that. But as an actual artist that puts out material, you know, he would be one of the people that I would believe just from his track record. He's already had an absence. So I could see him being like, nah, I might mess around a little bit.
I see him being retired from the music business.
Yeah, there we go.
As opposed
there we
to
go.
Being retired yeah. from being an artist.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
I
think, you know, when we talk about somebody like, you know, we brought him up earlier, Andre 3000. I don't think he wants to deal with being in the music business anymore. He probably is still very much interested in jamming and maybe freestyling. But as far as having to take said freestyle to an A&R, seeing how we're going to go ahead and package this and shooting a video and maybe doing this, that, he's not interested in that anymore. And I can completely understand
absolutely.
Why. So I think Yasiin Bey might be in that, you know, having a tour and then go sit down and talk to Jimmy Kimmel like you care what he has to say about your music. Like, it really, you know, and nothing against Jimmy Kimmel, but, you know, like when you're playing the game, you know, you really have to jump through certain hoops to promote your art. And I can see where people would get burnt out on such a thing, you know, because at one point Mos Def was moving in, and this is when he was still Mos Def. I'm not trying to be disrespectful with the name. He was top of the marquee as far as like mainstream. He did a movie called like 16 Blocks with Bruce Willis.
No, he was out there. He was out there.
Hitchhiker's Guide with
he was getting his act on.
He was Zoe. In these movies. And he wasn't in, like, you know, for lack of a better term, hood movies or stuff that was just going straight to Redbox when Redbox was a thing.
He did do the hip opera.
True.
That was earlier, though. You know, and shout
with Beyonce.
With Beyonce, directed by Robert Townsend. So, like, there was still, you know, a certain level of A-list-ish, if you will.
I'll take Beyonce and Robert Townsend.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Nobody really retires from having the creative inkling to make music, but I think, you know, having to deal with the entire record industry and the entertainment industry, that is something where you'd be like, I'm certainly not doing that anymore.
CeeLo Green said in an interview with Beehive in Atlanta, he asked him about, man, what's up with Outkast. CeeLo said, I'm never going to say never, because I know, you know, we in the chat and we always talk about the possibilities of this and that. But the one thing he did say was they got a chance to go out on tour and take people like Big Rube and all the people that were associated with Goody Mob and the Dungeon Family. They got a chance to go out on tour and perform. And Andre just didn't want to go out because of what you talked about. He didn't want to go through the riding on the tour bus and the press and all that type of stuff. He just wants to just chill and just do music.
He's been staying true to that.
Yes.
And what's funny, so this article that you're reading from, there's a related article that says back in 2017, Yasiin Bey, Mos Def to deliver farewell performance at One Music Festival 2017. So this isn't the first time he said that.
Yeah.
Essentially, like Jay Moore said, he's probably burnt out on the music business as a whole.
That's a good point.
But he's going to continue to do his artistic things on the side, just without the qualms and expectations of a record label or fans even.
There's also something to be said too from a writer standpoint, which Andre and Yasiin are both, is that where everything that they have is super thought out and, you know, stuff like that. So
it's funny that you,
I don't know.
It's funny that you said that, because you just spoke about, we talked about Odyssey and we talked about the interviews that we have. If you remember in that interview, he said when they go to different cities, he'll just go out and sit in the park and just try to pull from whatever's going on in his mind just to clear his space. Because sometimes you just get to the point where it's like, what am I inspired about? Am I just writing in circles for no reason?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I just go outside and walk. I just go outside and sit. Just go outside and think. Cut my phone off.
And even to Odyssey, he came out and said, I think it was like an Instagram post or something he wrote. He said this album was one of the hardest projects that he's had to put together, because he had a lot of self-doubt about, you know, the product, you know, like what he's putting together. And my guess, and I'm just guessing here, but maybe it's along those same similar lines of wanting to be up to the same standard and want to continue to push the envelopes. And if you've already pushed the envelopes super, super heavy, you know, that
what's left to push?
So you know what I mean? So, and Sky Zoo has even talked about it too, you know.
Talk about somebody that writes.
Yeah, and he's talked about the same thing.
That Franklin Saint project got some heat on it, though. I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to
it. It's with the other guys as producers. Yeah,
good production on there, too. So,
no, this is the thing about being an artist. Like, a lot of times people do get into it for the art, but the business is what kills their spirit.
Yep.
You know, the fact that, like, I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go talk to, say I've gotten to a point where, like, I'll sit down and talk to the Breakfast Club or yeah. Hot 96. It's like, I don't feel like doing that. You know, I don't think Andre 3000 wants to sit down and talk to anybody about anything. Maybe other creatives, perhaps.
Well, he had that.
Like he had
he talked with Rick Rubin.
He did have the thing with Rick Rubin.
That was a great interview.
But, you know, as far as just sitting down and shaking hands with people and like, hey, welcome to so-and-so in the morning. It was like, we got Andre 3000. He doesn't want to do that.
It's like if Andre 3000 had a show in Nap and we reach out and be like, yo, man, we want to talk to Andre 3000. He going to be like,
no,
I'm sorry.
He's at a point in his career anyway where he doesn't have to talk to anybody.
That's true.
Like whatever he drops is, this is just what I dropped. And yeah. I don't need to sit down and tell anybody about it. Either you're going to consume it or you ain't.
Bro, yeah. He set the world on fire with the verse for Kanye, and that was an old verse. But can you imagine what it would be if he actually...
I mean, he does it every time he gets on something.
Anything. So could you imagine what it was if he was like, yeah, I'm just going to randomly drop an EP and Big Boy on three of the songs?
I just seen how the Love Below came about. So it was supposed to just be Big Boy's solo project. Like, they weren't working together at this time.
Mm-hmm. And didn't he write and produce all of his side? Three Stacks?
If you let me finish talking, I can let you know.
Oh, my fault. I didn't know if he was done. Sorry.
It's cool. But no.
Don't do that.
He pretty much called L.A. and asked him, how long do I have to get this album done? Because they had no idea he was even working on anything. He's like, well, we're dropping Big Boys in 3 weeks. He kind of said, he just sighed and was like, cool, and hung up the phone. And then 3 weeks later, he delivered this album, which he had went through producers. He said he was finishing this album at multiple different studios, trying to get it mixed and mastered and there on time, like down to the day. He did everything, got it to him. LA was like, I heard that, and was like, there's no way he did that in 3 weeks. Like, just the artistry from it, you know what I'm saying?
It's
crazy.
Girl, woman, and man.
Crazy.
Nah, that's three weeks for that is, yeah.
But, imagine what else he's sitting on right now.
I'll say this though: like sometimes when the inspiration hits, you can knock out a lot of stuff in a very short period of time. Especially if you have the access to get those ideas out, you can knock those out. So. Who knows? That I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
I would think that he probably had some ideas already probably churning in his head, would be my guess. But
One thing about Stacks is he always speaks highly about the direction and the younger artists are going. He's like, man, I can't keep up with these young boys, that type of stuff. So yeah. I would see,
because it's literally the definition of hip hop is being hip.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to be hip anymore.
Yeah.
So I could see him, if he were to, like Lone says, quote unquote, pop out, I could see him showing love to the younger generation with features versus going back to grab, you know, not having the guys on everything. You know what I'm saying? I think it would be a mix if he were to do it. So,
but people don't really do that with Mos Def or Yasiin Bey.
Not really as much. I mean, he was on the Gibbs album, you know.
He was. He got a joint with West Side Gun, too, him and Talib.
Yeah, I mean, him and Slick Rick had that record a long time ago.
Well, Joey Badass actually just did Omi Says live.
Yeah, did y'all see that? That was dope. Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you don't really see him or people reaching out to him. Or if they are, maybe it's just not.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Or maybe he's just not, you know, accepting it.
Yeah, that's true.
All those different levels, you know, it's levels to everything. But I actually like that comparison, Terry. That's a really good comparison. Just from an artistic, creative standpoint, I see similarities.
Yeah, I do too.
Definitely see that. That's a very
good
comparison.
Huge most definitely. Yeah, man. What's going on here?
Turn that down, man.
I swore I turned it down.
I'm going to do long. 355 episodes.
You keep talking, man. And you shut the fuck up, huh?
But the Mos Def, like Black on Both Sides.
Yes.
And which is super dope. And then, of course,
New Danger.
Core Black Star. Man. I like the New Danger.
I did too. I know a lot of people didn't like it.
Didn't,
I enjoyed
that. That song, The Panties, bruh.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That beat is crazy.
The one thing that I would say is that his one after that is where he kind of lost me a little bit. The eccentric or...
Where he's jumping across the...
What's it called? The...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Where...
Then there's
the one that didn't even have a whole case. It was just like a purple CD.
Yeah.
And Mr. Magic. I don't
think that was what it was. Purple or something.
Yeah. I mean, and it had stuff on it I liked, but I was like, you're coming off of Black on Both Sides.
Yeah.
Black on Both Sides is
classic.
Tough. It is a classic.
Classic.
You know, so
one for the trouble.
But you know what? It's with Mos Def. If you like Mos Def, you like Mos Def.
Yeah,
he's in that category for you.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like you said about the whole having the mainstream looks. Yeah. I mean, probably the song Umi Says and maybe Miss Fat Booty are the songs. Yeah. Yep. That you would know from him, and those are 20 something years old at this point.
There's probably more people that know about him from movies than music.
But those two records that you just named, you talk about undeniable, man.
Undeniable, but at the same time, you just have to look. I remember Talib Kweli, you know, just kind of on the same thing. He said, "Look, man, I've been doing this for 20 something odd years. I only have one hit song, Get By."
Yeah.
You know, technically on what you would consider to be a hit song. You know,
that was a big record.
But if you have like this almost a grassroots fan base of people who enjoy your music, I'm not sure what he's doing now.
He's doing a podcast.
At the time, he's like, I still tour 150 days. I can still get out here and get money on the road with one hit. You know,
I do believe that.
What, was Hot Thing not a hit?
No. It was a
single.
It was a single, but like...
What about the Just Blaze joint?
No.
Where they had the 60s type vibe? No, that song was cold.
Never been in love before. When you say
get 'em hot,
you got to think about... Oh, it is when he's talking about hit, he's like, Billboard recognized...
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Hit.
I thought Hot Thing was kind of out there for a minute,
hot
though.
Thing. I never liked it.
It's
song.
Not Get By, but I would think, to Terry's point, it would be...
Because it was produced by Will I Am at the time when Will I Am was
actually
popping.
They're like, "Oh yeah, I remember that song."
Yeah,
but when they hear "Get By," that's
baseline.
Good call.
That Kanye West production.
Kanye West.
That's what I was gonna say. Get 'em High. Is that
Get 'em
High?
But that was
a Kanye
song. Yeah, yeah.
Get 'em High wasn't even a single.
It's not a single. Yeah.
No.
Dope song though.
But yeah, I mean, and I think that's.
But I'm not.
So the people who had respect for and enjoyed Mos Def's artistry, they'd be like, "Okay, cool, he's retired. We're still going to revisit this from time to time."
Oh yeah,
for sure.
You know, if you know, the retirement is supposed to spark some renaissance of people rediscovering Mos Def, it's not going to happen like that.
Nah.
That's just not how the media cycle works anymore.
I mean, the older I get, the more I just realize a lot of these artists that have had consistent careers for this long, they don't owe me anything, man. I don't need 6 more albums from fam. Like, go ahead and do what you do, bro. It's cool.
And that goes directly into my I don't care comment. It's just kind of like Mos Def has already given me a lot of himself. So, like, if he wants to retire or if he doesn't, like, I don't care. If he drops something new, cool, I'll check it out.
Lupe is kind of in the same boat because he's toyed with the fact of or idea of retiring. And he still kind of dibbles and dabbles here and there. He'll drop an album you won't even know that was coming out.
I listened to that album when he talked about dinosaurs.
Yeah, and it actually was fly.
It was fly. If anybody could turn it into something, it's him. And the the drill music joint that he just dropped was cold. It's heat on there. So, you know, it is what it is. But like Lone said, he don't owe me anything, man. If that's the case, go get your paper in the movies and appearances and start a podcast like everybody else.
Or
start.
Just sit at home and see.
He already's
your team,
on the
you know
podcast.
What I'm saying? Like,
he is.
Yeah, him and. Kweli and Dave Chappelle.
Midnight Miracle.
I'm asleep. Yeah. That's what's
they
up.
They just started their second series or something?
Yeah, they press it on vinyl.
Do
really?
It? Yeah.
They for real about it.
Yeah, I won't be hearing that either.
That's when you got that. that's that Dave Chappelle money.
Let's talk about Rick Rubin again. So he had an interview with Anderson Cooper. You know, he's a Def Jam co-founder.
He's been going on a little publicity
little
run.
Tour, yeah, a little press run.
I think I may have heard that he's like coming out with a book or something.
I'd actually like to read a book from him. I actually would.
I think it's a rollout.
But here's a quote. I want to read this quote and see what you guys think. And this is in relation to what his actual skill is as a producer. He said, "No, I have no technical ability. I know nothing about music." And he said, "Well, I know what I like and what I don't like. And I'm decisive about what I like and what I don't like." And then he was asked, what is he being paid for? He said, "The confidence I have in my taste and my ability to express what I feel has proven helpful for artists." Now, this is one of the pioneers in hip hop production label. What's the look? I'm coming to you first on this one, Long. I got to come to you first.
Yeah,
on this
I knew
one.
You would.
You knew I would. How does that make you feel, man, as a to hear a legend say, I really don't know anything about music technically. Not about that. It's just about me and my feel and my vibe. And I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And it works.
I feel it's very on brand for Rick Rubin.
Okay.
Very on brand for him to almost give away the stuff that he's accomplished and kind of attack it in kind of a humble manner. Like, I'm just a servant of whatever the being that I'm in right now. Now, is he actually being truthful? No, he's...
That's the question.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know anything about music. I don't know. But he you know, I think... I guess I just don't know enough about Rick Rubin to know what he really knows. I will say that a lot of the beats and stuff that he's made...
That you know of?
I wasn't personally a fan of, but I feel like it was a major sound for the time. And so, you know... You talk about the acts, was what, LL and the Beastie Boys and 99 Problems and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I don't know, like, you can't really deny that. I mean, unless he had somebody else making all the music for him, obviously somebody liked it, you know, if he's making
he
it.
He definitely had a style.
Yeah, he definitely had a style. And so, but I feel like the allure to Rick Rubin, why people like navigate or like gravitate towards him, is just because he's very much... He's like this Zen character in hip hop, and he tries to...
He's a co-founder of Def Jam.
Well, that too. But he's... I don't know. I don't really have an issue with him saying this. I don't know.
The Zen part makes... The Zen part kind of reminds me of...
I'm trying to be not like negative, you know. As we're talking about Rick Rubin, who's never negative, so...
Right. Like, it reminds me... He kind of reminds me of Phil Jackson. Like, Phil Jackson is kind of had that vibe as a coach for the Bulls. They called him the Zen Master.
Well, he knows about basketball, definitely. He created a whole offense.
Yep. You know that, and he actually played basketball.
Yeah,
professional as well. Yeah, it kind of give me that vibe, but I'm not mad at that long.
I don't even know what I said. Like, I think he's just, like, trying to say that, like, those things probably matter in his space. You know, maybe he wasn't the most... classically trained musician in that aspect, but he knew that this sounded good, and he knew that this sounded good, so he rolled with it, and it just so happened that a lot of other people did too.
I think some of this is cap, and the reason I think it's cap is because when he says no, I have no technical ability, and he also says I know nothing about music. The I know nothing about music part is cap to me because of how successful Def Jam became. Now, you knew something when you got with Russell and they start putting out records, and LL was 16 and all that. Come on, man. You knew something about music.
He's saying he doesn't know about the technicality.
You might have had a feeling. Yeah. You don't know how to work an MPC or exactly.
But he said, I have no technical ability.
A major and a minor, you know, scale. Like, that's what that's what I took from it. But, you know, when everybody's like, oh, that's so awesome.
But those are two separate comments, though. I have no technical ability. That speaks to the MPC, keys, chords, what Jay Moore is talking about.
He had to use something in order to create those.
But what I'm saying is, I know nothing about music. I don't know about that.
Okay, I think that's what he says. I know nothing about music. That's what I think he's talking about.
Okay.
Like, if you sat him in front of a piano or gave him a guitar, he wouldn't know what to do with it.
If he said the music industry, then.
If you put sheet music in front of him, he couldn't read it.
Right.
You know, that's what I take from it. But, you know, like, there's a certain level of hand-wringing and just like, oh, that's, man, Rick Rubin, because he is that Zen character.
Right.
But if Puff Daddy had said the exact same thing, it'd be like, we knew he was a hack.
True. Khaled, I'd be like, yep.
There's a lot of people in the industry that
don't know
anything
about
music.
Dr. Dre, who we know can actually play a little bit and understands
theory,
from him, and also him being a DJ. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're willing to give Rick Rubin so much more grace and think, oh, wow, this is so incredible, but he doesn't know how to play any instruments and he produced these records, and that's incredible. But, like, if Puff Daddy said the same thing, you know we'd be on his ass.
But I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason for that is because this is who Rick Rubin has always been. And Puff Daddy and Khaled are always super boisterous. You know, they bolster. You know, they're always just like, yeah, this is me. I'm the best. I'm this. And Rick Rubin's like, all right, cool. You know, he plays the back. He does the thing that he does. And he always been this person. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that grace is merited in this case, because this is literally who Rick Rubin is.
If you watch the recording session on Fade to Black.
Barefoot.
Yeah, like when he's just walking around the crib, and I didn't see him once say, I'm the GOAT, y'all. I'm telling you, Jay, man, we're just about to, it's on, it's popping. I'm here. You here, baby? We about to do it. But it was none of that. Everything was just to Lone's point. It was like, hey, we chilling, man.
What's crazy is they recorded more than just 99 Problems.
Yeah.
Like, there's a song that they're playing in, you know, kind of the behind the scenes. I was like, well, where is that record?
Yeah. So, to Lone's point about being on brand, I could see that. It's just, it's one of those things where
I got the same feeling, though, when I heard that. I was just kind of like, you don't know nothing about music. I was like, I feel like you're reaching a little bit.
I'm like,
I mean,
that's
I'm trying to be charitable. To Jay's point, I am trying to be charitable to that. But I got the same feeling when I heard that, which is probably why I struggled with, like, trying to.
You can't produce Tila Rock, the Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, later on Slayer, and all the stuff that he did with, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, you can't do that if you don't know anything about music. All right. Yeah. And sometimes
maybe he
and
just wasn't being technical.
Maybe. And sometimes it really is like, that's you have to have that person who says, okay, just let's turn the drums down.
Like, for example,
let's do this. Like, because that's really a producer's job is, you know, a lot of times to take, okay, these vocals, this beat, that let's and mold it into something marketable. And that's what Rick Rubin was able to do several times.
Don't lose your train of thought.
No, I was going to bring up, for example, I was in band, was first chair trombone player, and I didn't know how to read music. I would have somebody else write the notes on the page for me. I could play them, you know what I'm saying? But I couldn't read it, essentially. So if that came up, like somebody asked me, I don't know anything about music as far as reading it, but I can play it, and I know what sounds good. I know what sounds bad. I know it from that angle. But I don't know the technicalities of reading it, and
just like people just play from ear,
bass note, or you know what I'm saying,
for sure.
Different chords, all that stuff.
I would be categorized as both, because I learned how to read music, but also my ear is my biggest attribute, because that's where it's at. To your point, so there are I know people right now that are musicians that will smoke anybody that play by ear. Like, they can't sit down and technically look at it, but if they get a chance to hear the key and the vibe, it's a wrap.
Exactly.
They'll take it from there. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, Stevie Wonder, for example.
There we go.
What has he read? I mean, he sat down and and I'm not even being
Braille.
Funny.
Yeah, I got Braille.
I'm not even being funny, but
that's true though.
He was writing music.
Yes, he was.
Blind writing music, playing all these different instruments. I mean,
it's so. I mean, I teach this stuff. So what I would say is that one thing that I always tell my students when we have our two basic, like, westernized music theory lessons is, one, understanding the technicality of it, of, you know, being able to understand it to the fullest extent isn't always necessary, but it helps.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a music producer, as a beat maker, as you're starting out, it's important to kind of understand how to get around notes and majors and minors and stuff like that. But if you can't recite it off top, that's okay. It doesn't really matter, because all you have to be able to know is how to work around in the way that
and
you're
working. And how it feels. Yeah. Like, you can't sit there and tell me that all of these bands that were out in the 70s and 80s were sitting there writing all this music down. They was getting together, jamming, have a feel. Somebody might play a little bit of something, somebody else add to it, but they weren't writing that music, essentially.
There's artists that are, to your point, I saw a documentary on B.B. King. You know, he had a song with U2. It's called Love.
Love Comes Around.
Right. So, thank you. So, they were in the rehearsal, and the guys are like, yo, so here's the chords, man. This is how it goes, and we're going to perform. B.B. King was like, I don't do chords. The guys from U2 were like, huh? He's like, nah, I don't do chords. I do this. And he just starts jamming.
Right.
And then the guys from U2 were like, that's why he's so cold, and that's why he's a legend. He's a specialist. Now, BB was in the same breath, he was talking and speaking about key changes. He knew the key. He could name them, knew the key changes and all that. But as it relates to playing chords and understanding it, he's like, nah, I don't do that.
When you break it down, when you make music, most people, unless you are a classical composer, when you're making music, you're not thinking at it. You're not coming at it from an angle of like, all right, this note's on the staff here, and then I'm going to have a half note. And no, you're sitting down and you're like playing something. You're feeling what you're playing, and then you record it, and then you add more stuff to it. It's like the you know, it is very much feel like. So to kind of bring it all the way back around, maybe that is kind of what Rick Rubin kind of right. going for. You know, just kind of like, I don't, you know, I don't know how to do this stuff per se, but you know, I know what sounds good. You know,
I will say this: Rick Rubin to me would be a person that I would have or lean towards giving more credibility from an overall music and production standpoint versus somebody like who were we talking about earlier? Somebody like that. I would lean towards him just from an overall perspective of music 100 times out of 100.
Because music is about feel.
Exactly.
And that's the one thing that if you're going to, his entire career has been about that.
Yeah.
And some an embodiment of who he is. Every interview you see him, he's like, he got Andre 3000 to do like a super long interview.
How much credibility
do you have?
And they
talked about feelings and you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, you know, he was like, how do you feel? Why don't you want to make this? Why don't
to,
you know?
To pull Andre 3000 out of his world to come in and sit down for an interview, you doing something right. Because how often do that happen?
I mean, they're kind of alike.
They are.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and it's also they've made enough money to where they don't have to step out when they don't want to.
True. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to care too much. I'm learning about caring too much, Long. Yeah. I'm not going to care too much and ask the question, how is this going to impact the people that are watching and all the people? It ain't that serious.
Yeah. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Let me ask you guys this. Did you guys see the situation with Boosie's daughter? She did a freestyle, which actually was pretty good. I didn't know she could rap like that. But then she posted a picture of her and her girlfriend. So we know where Boosie has been on his stance on everything. And a lot of people are saying this is karma for Boosie because of how he's been.
Who cares about a lot of people?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
And the thing is, like, when you talk, well, I remember Boosie was on the show. He's like, I ain't got nothing to against Gabe, they the ones that got, I don't know. It just seemed like
Breakfast Club interview.
I don't got anything against the gays.
You can't even say, like, it's like when somebody dies and they're like, oh, that's karma. It's like, no, death comes for us all.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
You know, there's no such thing as saying, oh, that person died because of karma. And people want to put the human condition into the category of karma. It's lame. And, you know, it's just lame. And, like, people just don't like Boosie. Because he says what is on his mind at the exact moment he thinks it.
I actually like Boosie as a person more than I like him as a music artist.
You personally. Know, so I understand why people want to say that, but like these are people with their own issues, and I don't really care to entertain them.
What were you going
to
say, Long?
I don't remember. I don't care, but I would say, you know, something.
I don't think any of us really care about
you know,
that.
It was just something. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool.
But what Jay Moore was talking about with the karma stuff, like when you said, you know, the part about death and stuff, that's facts. Like, people just trying to throw stuff against the wall at that point as it relates to that. I just think more people were kind of looking at him because of his candor and the
stance
that he's taking.
Or it's a situation where they're all going to laugh at you because,
could be, you know,
this is happening.
See what
you
did? Like, it's people out there like, see?
Look, Boosie got all them kids. At least one of them was going to be gay.
Come on.
Hey, and the crazy thing.
Just when you play the numbers game.
Yeah.
Well,
yo, that's crazy.
There we have it.
That's crazy, the numbers game.
But you said something like, "Yeah, Boosie's just a stream of consciousness coming out." Let's not confuse streams of consciousness. And I know you're not with intelligence.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Or being real,
okay.
Or being honest.
You know, because some people like it's you just, know, honestly, having some sort of filter before you speak is, you know. Everyone should, you know, because one of the worst things that I think that has happened, not just in hip hop, well, and I'll say there's a little bit too much of it in hip hop, where someone says, like, when someone, I saw Dame Dash speaking about Kanye West, and it's like, you know what's always made Kanye West? Is he doesn't give an F.
Right.
That doesn't make, that's not a good quality to have.
No.
You know, like, we equate that with being real. It's like, no. You're supposed to give an F about the things that you say out loud, especially if they could affect people outside of your bubble. It's like that whole concept is like, I just don't give a. No, that's not like once
they love it when Eminem says it though.
Yeah, but you know, Eminem is.
I'm just throwing that out there.
I know, but you know what? Like, it wasn't cool when he said it. He's supposed
people have literally been saying it since,
and everybody's like, Pac, you know, he just didn't give an F. Like, that's. You know, if he'd have gave an F, he'd have stayed in the hotel room with his girlfriend instead of hanging out with Suge Knight.
But here's what they say about athletes.
Athletes.
Sound like Charles Barkley. Mm. Athletes. This is what you hear about athletes as it relates to reporters and media. Oh, we want the athletes to be honest. I don't like when the athletes tiptoe around it. We want the athletes to be honest.
Depending upon what they're talking about.
That's what I was about to ask, because does that same thing apply as it relates to... With the artist, do we want the candor? Do we want the truth? Or do we want...
You're saying candor and you're saying truth. Like, my truth is not the truth. The
same, yeah. I can buy that.
Exactly. You
I can
know,
buy
like, that. So, and that's the thing that I think people get confused. Is like, I don't care about your truth.
Let me ask you this, Long. Can a person still have that and not try to force their truth on somebody? Can they speak from the honest... Them just being honest, because some people talk and force stuff on you, force their truth on you, versus just coming off and being, this is just my honest opinion.
I mean, that's religion.
For sure. You see what I'm saying?
That's religion. That's the basis of religion, is to force my belief on you to believe how I believe. And not even just religion. That's just a good example. Mm-hmm. But generally, I don't think what Boosie was doing was necessarily forcing how he feels on anybody else. He's just saying how he feels.
I would agree.
And then he said that he doesn't have anything against anybody, but this is just how I feel. Now, even back to religion, a lot of these different lifestyles are frowned upon in religion.
True.
But you're supposed to leave it up to God to judge everybody, right?
But I guess.
Unfortunately, we live in an imperfect world, and we decide to judge everybody and cast judgment and make our own decisions. So I think it falls back to the audience trying to pretty much interpret it how they want to interpret it versus what somebody actually means.
I always think it's wild whenever people say, you know, only God can judge me. It was like, actually, the judge can judge you.
Yeah.
That's why your cousin is always in jail.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand where people's kind of, it was a real cool when Pac said it. But, yeah, the judge judges people on a regular basis. And,
I mean, it literally says that in the Bible, though, that only God can pretty much judge.
Yeah, he can judge who, you know, whether or not you go to heaven or go to hell. But whoever goes to jail.
But we're in a society of judgment, because just go on Instagram and go scroll through the comments. Everybody is judging. YouTube. Everybody's judging. TikTok.
You could put a everybody picture is of your judging cat on all the comments. Judge your cat.
Yeah.
Like, that is.
That's your cat ain't fluffy enough, man.
They'd be like, your cat ugly as hell. You know, like,
why y'all buy that cat?
Yeah, exactly.
Who chose to buy that cat? Why are you so fat?
I'd have bought a dog. Why y'all got a cat?
That's just the world we live in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, too many people have the ability to make a public opinion.
No, that's the real downfall of social media.
They're going to say that's censorship, Long. You trying to censor people.
No.
He said no. No,
just
said no.
That's not what that is.
Think about it. Like, if you didn't like something back in the day,
mm-hmm.
you had to get together a letter writing campaign.
Yeah.
You had to get people who are willing to sit down with pen and paper. It's like when Married with Children. Petition. But you know, there was a woman who didn't like Married with Children, and she got the mothers of her neighborhood together,
Karen.
and decided they were going to write a letter, put it in an envelope, get an envelope, get a stamp, and then send this strongly worded letter to the network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's just like, Married with Children sucks. Post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cancel Married with Children.
Yo, there are so many
post
miserable comments on each and everything that we look at in society. I'm talking about just from a social media standpoint. Some of the things I see, you know, on a daily basis or whatever you choose to look at, it's like, man, what made you take that much time to write a soliloquy or four paragraphs about a picture of Lone standing outside his front door? Like, what made you find something in that picture and write a whole like four paragraphs about
it? Well, I'll tell you
bro.
What it is.
What is it?
People are just miserable at their own lives.
Okay. That's what I was that's
no,
what
nobody
I was,
lashes out like that if they're like feeling good about themselves, because they have other things to feel good about. It's just a way to lash out and to share how you're feeling to more people because you don't have Misery that voice. Loves
company.
I mean, and we're also in what I call the professional era because everybody is a professional. Mm-hmm. So you could just post anything and there's like, nah, he should have did it this way or she should have done it this way. And I'm like, this is a boxing video with two professionals, you know, training and doing mitt work.
Yeah,
you work at the Chevron, bro. What's going on? What are we talking about?
I think we're all fallible in this matter. We all care about stuff that we shouldn't care about.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Inherently, that's fair. You know, like there's this book. It's called like the Courage to Be Disliked or something. I think is what it's called. Mm. And in that book,
like the title.
And in the book, there's like a part where it's like this conversation between like a philosopher and like a young student or something. And they're like talking back and forth, and the philosopher is trying to like share some Adlerian psychology type things. And he says something along the lines of, you know, everything is about separation of tasks. And he's like, you have to understand, he was like, it is not my task to care about what you think about anything. That is that person's task. And if you can separate the tasks, then you can get to the point to where you stop caring about the stuff that is more menial and doesn't make any sense. So from my perspective, I would look at this stuff, my way of saying I don't care is like, it's not my job to care about some stuff that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm. He broke that mug down, didn't he?
I mean, I'm just saying.
No,
so
I mean, that's very real.
And, you know, and I try my best to look through that lens with all of the comments I see, but it's so hard.
I don't care. From a perception standpoint, can be looked at as 100% hate.
Oh, for sure.
You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, saying I don't care about the hate equals hate.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of.
Or just when you know, like to talk about somebody, be like, I don't care.
I don't. You know. Like, I mean, like what I said about Mos Def. I felt like I had to re-clarify that because I didn't want it to come across like I don't care about Mos Def. But it's not that. It's just I don't. You know, like it's his decision. He gets to choose what he.
I don't even look at that as.
Or Yasin Bey, excuse me.
I don't even look at what you said. I don't even look at that as backtracking or walking back.
Yeah, but you know me. You know what I mean? So
okay,
like,
that's
so
fair.
You know how I am. Okay. You know, like, so it's just kind
of... A lot of times you can't...
Good point.
You know, this is the messed up thing about any time where you put your opinion or you say something that goes out into wherever, you know, because that's what we do here as a podcast. Like if we were just like, oh, everything's fine, like no one would listen to the podcast. Like we have to have a healthy debate about things that really don't concern us a lot of times.
Right.
But the thing is, a lot of time, it's not about my intention, but it's about other people's perception. Because I can say something and... Like I'll just be saying it to joke or it'll be something a certain commentary about certain behavior, but then someone will hear it and be like, I don't know why you're talking about the gays. I'm like, well, I didn't say anything about gay people. But like sometimes your a person's perception, can be
interpretation.
Yeah, or interpretation. Just their interpretation of what I said. They're like they take offense to it for no reason, but because of what they heard, not really about what I actually said.
Literally everything.
And that's literally, look, a couple weeks ago, I said the thing about, you know, and just joking, like you guys know, but of course, these people who don't know us. I said, look, take your Christmas, don't turn your Christmas lights on. It's depressing.
People got mad at that.
And they did. And people were like, well, maybe you need to work on your depression. I was like, I'm not actually depressed.
Time out. Somebody said depressed because
I
of
was
that?
Like, someone said, you need to work on your depression. I can keep my lights on. I was like, I don't actually get depressed, but it's just like, dude, Christmas is over. Like, that was my point.
You must have really made somebody mad.
Everybody's butt hurt, man.
But that's the thing about when you read our comments, like, the negative comments are really what drive the engagement. And the thing is, there are a lot of people who may do what we're trying to do, what we're doing, and they see the negative comments, and it'll be like, well, and that might internally really do something to them. I get it, because I come from that era where I remember Howard Stern, the people who liked him listened for 30 minutes. The people who hated him listened for an hour and a half. So I get it.
Are there any products that you consume? Thank you, brother.
Got it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
I ain't say it like that. Are there any products or, you know, shows that you consume, that you watch, that are 100% positive and there's no friction that you enjoy? Are there any types of podcasts or
like the Care Bears or something? I don't know. I mean,
literally nothing is 100% positive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, is there anything that you watch?
Interruption. And those two guys have been friends for like 50 years, and they still start yelling at each other. Yeah. From
that's
time
true.
To time.
That's true. That's a good example. Yeah,
I think it's just. I think there's. I mean, to Jay's point, you know, people are gonna take certain things and have their own perspective on it. I do think it is our job. I think there is a responsibility that we do have as people that have a voice to get our message out there as clear as possible all the time. Like, take that into account. Take that into account. I do think we have that type of responsibility. But at the same time, we don't always know everything. You know, right. Like, we're humans, and sometimes we'll screw stuff up, or sometimes people don't have full context. So, yeah. You know, but
it's not a responsibility to tell you how to feel.
For sure.
Or to even try to bounce off how somebody feels, because, I mean, that's not us.
Yep.
I mean, I can tell you if you felt some type of way about something I said, was like, that's not what I meant. But honestly, I can't do that to every person on the internet every day.
No, for sure.
I don't have that kind of time. Even when I do have that kind of time, that's not how I choose to use it.
I mean, who sits around and cares that much to go through all of that?
There are people out there that do.
And a lot of the stuff is, a lot of comments are like, a lot of angry comments are very personal. And the interesting thing about a lot of the stuff that people are angry about is like, even the commentary around it isn't even a personal.
Nah.
It's just kind of like an observation or some being objective. But like, I can be objective and say, like, tomorrow Mos Def could put out a song. Excuse me, Yasiin Bey could put out a song, and I can be like, man, that's trash. Doesn't mean I think that he's trash as an artist.
Why are you hating?
Or that his personalities. Or, you know, it's like, no, it's just, I don't like that. You know, like, so yeah, in that aspect, it'd be like, all right, cool. I need to word things better. Like, I don't even take my opinion very seriously. I don't take opinions very serious.
That's serious.
And I don't even take my own opinion very serious. And what I mean by that is, like, just because I have thoughts doesn't mean it's like fact or anything. Yeah. You know, just because I have stuff, you know, so like,
it can be rooted in fact and still not be 100% fact.
True. Look.
Hey, real quick though, did y'all see the Biggie 13s?
Yep.
Did y'all see those?
I will not be getting a pair of those.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Lone, I think I sent you a link. They have the lumberjack patterns, because you know that's the bar with the lumberjack to match, and they got Biggie on the tongue. The insole is all lumberjack. These are crazy. There's only 23 pairs.
Nobody is going to get
a
pair.
Yeah.
There's only 23 pairs of these, and everybody's talking about, man, I'm going to try to get into the raffle. You're not going to win.
There's a raffle for them?
You know how people be talking.
Like, kind of raffle? Is it like a private raffle, or is it like
probably,
a for real sneaker?
Probably something where you got to be exclusive enough to get into the raffle.
You ain't about to get on sneakers and grab a pair of those.
Hey, though, these are cold, though. The fact that they paid that tribute to Big, I've never seen anything like this with the whole sole and the insole. And it actually has on the back of the tongue on the inside. I don't know if they have the picture. But
it has
got
lyrics.
Lyrics, yes, bars on the back of it.
Now you know it's on one of them.
Yeah, so you know how many people will go out and cop the lumberjack to match they got these?
If they do not have,
I wouldn't even wear those.
Then I'm not getting them.
Jay Moore, these definitely ain't at shoe.
Man,
they
would be in a
they do look nice,
plastic sealed box. I would never put them on my feet.
Yeah, I would.
Mm-mm.
You wear them. You ride your bike.
Limited
in them?
To 23 pair?
No, I don't think I would. I mean, I probably wouldn't
I wouldn't even put
my
feet
in. Do y'all know what
those.
The resale on these is going to be?
Something stupid.
The hype beast resale is probably
going to be. That's why I wouldn't wear them. That's why I wouldn't wear them.
I want to be in a place to where I could just wear them.
You would be like the talk of the what is it? The talk of the town?
Like, wouldn't even care. They look like they could be comfortable.
I mean, they look dope.
That's the only reason why I was interested in them all, you know.
The auction house estimates that each set will fetch between...
That's a little different than a raffle.
$2,300 to $5,000.
Yes, you got
to
get your shoes at Sotheby's. You're doing it. Look, that's why I
and
go
it's going
over
to Biggs Foundation,
the shoe carnival,
and the funds go to Biggs Foundation. So his namesake.
And then
Foundation.
Their resale value though goes straight to whoever bottom's pocket.
I'm with you though, Lone.
They're
like,
be spending $20,000 and $30,000 on them shoes. Believe I'm telling you.
You talking about the resale when they flip?
They only made 23 pairs. Yeah.
Do I get to try them on at the auction house and see if you know they
I wouldn't good? Even I wouldn't even put my foot in them, honestly.
Nope, I will. They will remain dead stock.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put my foot in them.
I wouldn't even take the paper or inserts out of them, nothing.
Like, to me, the shoe is dope, but the excitement is not the fact that, you know.
Do I get a mixtape or something with it?
It's not like it's not the fact that they out the resale is what excites me. I'm curious to see how much somebody is going to pay.
That doesn't excite me at all.
That's what I want to see.
Capitalism.
It's capitalism. There we go. There we go.
I mean, it really is. I'm sitting here thinking, like, I don't care about a pair of shoes I can't wear.
Yeah. But you know what? It's going to be somebody that's going to get these and rock them, like Lone said, just to rock them.
You know
Terry,
what?
Terry going to be disgusted.
Drake and Khaled. Khaled, sorry.
But yeah, the Khaled thing is, when you go to,
Khaled will get a whole
to the shoe carnival,
lumberjack
you
outfit.
You can wear those shoes right out the door.
Oh, here you go, man.
It's true.
Get to spin the wheel.
Khaled will get a whole jump set, pajama set, and wear them and turn it into content.
You know what he would not do in these shoes?
What?
Exercise.
No, he's not going to exercise.
And that's not me bagging on him because he's fat, but like literally, Khaled had a deal with Weight Watchers and didn't lose a pound and still got to keep all the money.
Yeah. And kept his hair dye person paid. Is it like in COVID?
You know, there's a QR code.
All kind of
there's a QR code in the on the shoe where you can listen to an unreleased Biggie song.
That's not true.
I know.
You see, I looked at him like he tried to, I almost got hyped, but I was like,
that's
nah.
Kind of what Jackson said it in the chat. I know he was just saying.
That may, you know what? That might add $20,000 to it if it was a Biggie song.
Yeah.
No, but these are dope, man. Shout out to whoever came up with this, and it'll go to Biggs Foundation. I think this is pretty cool. I hadn't seen anything like this one. This is a new one, so, you know, salute to the auction house. Terry said he gonna try to get in there.
No, I'm not. Too rich for my blood.
Come on, man. $23,000 to $5,000, bro. You got it. Go in there and get you one.
Ain't messing around.
The answer is no.
Well. All right, man, did y'all, is there anything that we forgot? Anything we want to say? Anything in the chat before we get out of here? Shout out to the chat as well. Y'all been active all night. We appreciate it.
Active. Shouts to Fonz, who was in there.
Oh, you said Fonz?
I think it's some
the
troll.
Fonz?
I think it's
the
some
Fonz?
Troll.
Oh, did we get trolled? I probably
missed. Yeah, it happens.
Kind of. Get trolled every, get trolled every week, B.
People get, people get trolled every week, B. You are calling the shoe with the unreleased. Man, y'all almost got me with that one. All right, man. We appreciate the support as always. Thanks to the chat. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you like it, subscribe, download it, hit the bell, notification, sign up for all that. We really appreciate the support. That's what helps keeps us going. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Bye.